welcome to the First Intuition Podcast. On this week's episode, we look at professional social media, improving your LinkedIn profile with some hints and tips. As always, we recorded the session in front of a live Zoom audience. And if you'd like to join a future session, you can look for details in the show notes. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the First Intuition Podcast. My name is Ben Ballman, and I'm joined tonight again by my good friend and colleague, David Malthouse. Good evening, Dave.
Evening, Ben. How are you this week?
Dave, I'm having a really, really, really good week this week. I had my first COVID jab, which is a big milestone, and I would get lots of our listeners over the next few weeks and months are probably going to be having their letters through the post and their invites if you haven't done so already. Good luck if you're going for your jab. Mine was relatively simple, pain-free, didn't take too long, and I'm feeling on top form after it. But then the other big milestone this week for me was on Monday morning, I took the train back into work. And that's a big thing for me because I used to get the train into Cambridge every day when I was in the office. And I haven't been on that train since March last year. It was my first time back. I've been into the office, but I've driven into the office up until now. But this is my first time back on public transport. I took my bike, I cycled to the station, I took my bike on the train with me so I could then do a bit of cycling in Cambridge at lunchtime, which was really, really lovely. Got soaked because it chucked it down. We're having quite up and down weather at the moment, but it was just fantastic to be back to a normal routine. And a couple of things actually that are going to be quite relevant for tonight. So I might mention that train journey a couple more times this evening on the podcast. How's your week been going, Dave?
Well, not as exciting as yours, Ben. There's been no trains for me, but I have had that questionable weather. I had my COVID jab a number of weeks ago, but that's because I'm significantly older than you, I think, Ben, isn't it? So I'll probably have my second jab in the next few weeks, the rate things are going. I have noticed, though, things starting to open up. I'm speaking to people who have been kind of going out for meals and things like that. So it is nice to see, you know, people doing normal stuff. It was quite nice that my daughter had the option after school today, she was going to play with one of her friends, and it was kind of, well, you know, should we go to the park or should we go back to mine? Because we can do that now. And that was just quite a nice moment. She chose to go to the park, which she's been able to do for the last couple of weeks anyway. But it's just nice to see those kind of things happening again.
Fantastic. So my train journey in, I got to the station really, really nice and early because I was quite nervous. I'll admit, I was very apprehensive on Sunday night thinking, oh, blimey, got to remember and get up and get to the station on time and get my ticket. But I was, got there, and I thought, I'm going to take a picture of this for prosperity. And I thought, I'm going to whack it up on LinkedIn. And I've been a bit of an up and down dabbler with professional social media. My LinkedIn account is a bit boom and bust. I've been through spells where I've used it. I've been through other spells where I haven't engaged with it as much as I probably should have done. And I thought, I'll take a picture and I will upload it. And then I started getting comments and likes. And it really threw me back thinking, oh, it's just me taking a picture of me at the train station. But within the week so far, I'm up to 87 likes on it, which is really, really nice and quite powerful. Seeing some names of people that liked it that I haven't seen face to face for at least 12 months, some of them quite a bit older than that, further down the line of my earlier career. And it was just really, really nice to see those names pop up and think they've actually seen a picture of me and taken time to either send me a comment wishing me luck for going back to work on the train, or just to like it to say, I'm going to acknowledge that I've seen it. And it got me thinking, actually, am I making the most of my social media? Is there anything that I could be doing differently? And therefore, I thought it would be a good topic for the podcast. And this is where I can introduce our guest for this evening. I've reached out, and our fantastic marketing manager, Shelley, who does a great job. She's very much hidden away quite often at the back of these kind of Zoom sessions. But tonight she's actually going to come on and speak to us, which is fantastic because she is, as I say, a marketing manager for FI. So gets involved in all of our marketing, publicity, social media. but also has got a bit of a background in doing it in other roles that she's done before joining FI. So good evening, Shelley.
Good evening, and thanks for, oh, it's great to be back. Thanks for having me back. So, as Ben said, I'm marketing manager at Chelmsford. And before that, for about 8 years, I worked for a marketing agency, and one of my clients was a huge European brand. They've got stores all over Europe, but not in the UK. And one of their big things was about employee engagement, and they were always really, really keen to invest time in people, A, because it created a great culture within the brand, but also because it helped them from a business point of view, because they wanted to create these sort of internal brand advocates, people that would kind of like and share their posts. And one of the things we worked on for them was some LinkedIn guidelines. And we came across a real nervousness amongst people to get involved in LinkedIn. There was very much this kind of like, oh, well, my boss might see it. And, well, what if my boss thinks I'm looking for a job? And actually, what we tried to do was sort of change that perception so that people realise that there's actually more to LinkedIn. It's not just a job site. So that's one of the reasons why I'm here this evening.
Fantastic. And I know you've got a bit of a blog that's on our website that we can talk through some of the content. Yep. I'll certainly put a link to it in the show notes. I suppose let's start at the beginning there, when you talked about being nervous of using it. LinkedIn is a bit different, isn't it? It's a bit different from other social media platforms, maybe your Instagram account or your Facebook account, where LinkedIn, I think, is the one that probably blurs the lines between your professional life and your personal life. Any particular thoughts on that? And Dave, also feel free to chip in.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's what makes people quite nervous, is it is seen as a professional site. But increasingly, as you go on there, actually, sometimes the content that's being shared that's slightly more personal is the stuff like your train journey that actually kind of attracts the likes and comments. But, you know, all of that, providing it is doesn't go too far down the personal route. And, you know, personally, I've never put pictures of my dog on there and things like that. But from your point of view, it can actually help to, it shows who you are, it shows you as a real person, it shows that you're relatable. And if you are trying to promote your company's culture or to position yourself for the future for maybe a different role, you know, all of that can help. But it is very different to Facebook and Instagram.
What's your thoughts on that one, Dave? The blurring of the professional versus the personal world of your social media persona?
Now, I find this a kind of quite a challenge when I speak to colleagues, because I'm, as you know, I set up the office in Chelmsford, and there is, you said it's blurring of the line. There is very little line left between kind of like my personal life and my work life. So, you know, that's a personal choice rather than anything that's been kind of forced upon me. So I'm more than happy to put most of my life out there on LinkedIn. And I'm also happy to talk about work on other platforms as well. And I think that it is quite challenging sometimes for people just to really see where LinkedIn fits, because, you know, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat or whatever, they're all very much, this is me personally. This is my personal brand, if you like. And I don't even need to talk about where I work here, because no one really cares. You know, they care about the other things that are going on in my life. Whereas, you know, LinkedIn, there's that kind of, well, is it purely work based? Is it a jobs board? And there's, I think, a lack of understanding about what it actually is. I know, Ben, you've been using it, you know, quite some time now, and you've kind of probably got a bit more of an idea about what LinkedIn is. But it's kind of a hybrid between, it is a social media personal site. It has got elements of it that are a job board. But for me, it's about the network that you build there, and the fact that I connect to clients and I connect to former students, and I still keep in touch with them. And I've got the ability now to be able to reach out and speak to any of those people very, very easily. because email addresses get out of date very quickly. People change mobile phone numbers if they change work. So it can be very easy to lose contact with that person that worked at that business that you need to speak to. But I'm pretty confident right now that if you said to me, Dave, I need an industrial electrician to come in and completely look at all of the lighting in our offices, I'm pretty confident I can go to that network of people that I've got on LinkedIn and find you an industrial electrician to give you a call tomorrow. And that's the real power of that network, is being able to identify those different people. But you can only get that network through working at it. I know that there are some LinkedIners that will just spam everyone and say, oh, link to me, link to me, link to me. And you know, some of the time I'll say yes, but I haven't got a relationship with them. So it's in the same way as real life networking. It's about people. It's about networking. It's about understanding who people are and engaging. And that's what they're doing with your photo of a train.
I think it's also a great place to inform yourself as well. There's an awful lot of, you know, insight that goes on to LinkedIn where you can read speciality sort of articles about your industry. And, you know, I've worked in a couple of different industries and I still see things now that I think actually that might be interesting for what I'm doing now. There's great tips on there for me from a marketing point of view. That, you know, there's different groups that I'm in. And actually some of those places are just really great places to find out more and to dive a bit deeper into what you do.
A few things that you've mentioned there to unpick. I think the first one that jumped out at me was the fact that the LinkedIn account belongs to the individual. It's my LinkedIn account and I'm not planning to, don't panic, but if I was to leave First Intuition, that LinkedIn comes with me, it's mine. But while I've got it currently and in my role as a tutor and a director at FI, and it says that very prominently on my LinkedIn, anything I am saying is actually in part representing the brand and the image of FI. And that's something that I think everybody just needs to be very considerate of when they are posting, when they are sharing things, that although it's my account, anything that I post can reflect very goodly or very badly on my employer. And I know, Dave, you would feel as strongly for your team in Chelmsford. You'd want to encourage them to use the platform, but also say, look, hold in a minute, guys. Anything that you say on there potentially comes back and reflects on my business.
Absolutely. And this is now, as I found out a while ago, it's enshrined in UK law now. Anything that you say on social media, on a public space, that has got some kind of link to your work could be used against you in legal action. So if you are defaming your boss or if you are making allegations about things that have happened in the workplace that seem to be untrue, if the employer can be identified and you can be identified, then it can be used against you and you can be dismissed. So you do need to be absolutely right. So you need to be careful about what you put on there. But you're right. It's your account then. But and this is something that I try to emphasize to people that I speak to are probably my parents' age of what this is equivalent to, because they say, oh, it's awful that, you know, you could get all of that, all those links you built up through First Intuition, all those connections, and then take them off to someone else, take them with you because they belong to you. Why is that any different to, you know, 50 years ago, having that little black book of phone numbers that every person had of all of the contacts that they have? You know, that's knowledge that you built up in your professional career. It's your professional network. Even if you didn't have that little black book, you probably know the names of people. So it's online now. It's not in your head or written down somewhere. It's exactly the same thing.
The other thing you said was, and I feel LinkedIn has developed to be more than just a job site, but I think we need to be mindful that some people maybe do still perceive it and, dare I say, use it for that purpose, a kind of self-promotion at the time they need it, but then dropping it like a stone when they've got a role and they then don't worry about it. And I think it's maybe moving beyond that, not just using it for your own benefit in the short term to get a role. That said, I got my role at FI through social media. If Gareth hadn't posted on social media saying we're looking for tutors, send me a message if you're interested, I don't know if I would have seen the advert. So I think it's still used to go and look what's out there potentially, but not exclusively. Shelley, what's your thoughts on using it for career development with regards to role changes potentially?
If you are looking to role change, I mean, yeah, it's a great place. I think one of the things that you need to do is make sure that your profile is completely up to date and says all the things that you want it to say, if that's, you know, if that's what you are looking for. I think the other thing you just need to be aware of is that not all vacancies will be filled through LinkedIn. I think from experience of friends and my other half, in fact, you can post a job on LinkedIn and you can get kind of 300-400 applicants kind of within a day, just because the right words have been used, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, sometimes it doesn't necessarily replace the old fashioned job advert through, or, you know, go through an agency or something like that, but it definitely is a good place to look. But you do need to make sure your profile really fully reflects who you are. It's like almost giving somebody a quick look at your CV and you haven't quite finished it and it's got a few things missing on it. So, you know, you haven't filled it in fully.
When I was doing some research today, when I realised we were going to be talking about it, I went onto the AAT website. AAT got a great comment section of their website where they put up blog articles. And I found one, and this was written pre-pandemic, so it's a couple of years old now, and they were quoting stats of 74% of employers would look at your social media presence before making a firm commitment to a job offer. And I would guess, as that article is now 2 years old, that 74% is probably even higher now with people checking you out online. So Shelley, your point around making sure that your profile is up to date is a very valid one, and I think useful for us to maybe talk through some of your blog tips on how to clean up, cleanse, improve your social media presence. This is something we could do quite practically. If you're listening along and you want to kind of pause us now and go and log on to your LinkedIn account, and as Shelley gives us some tips, see if you can improve your presence in real time, go for it. Dave, maybe you'll play along and see if both say whether we've got this on our LinkedIn profile or not. But Shelley, what are some of your top tips if we want to really make our LinkedIn account stand out and shine?
Okay, so the first thing that you need to think about is your picture, your profile picture. It goes without saying, it obviously needs to look like you. One of the things that people can do is have a full length photo of themselves. Now, bear in mind that most people look at social media on their phone. You are going to be absolutely tiny if you have a full length photo. So as much as it would be great, Ben, for you to have a picture of you standing up teaching, full action shot, the chart that actually people are not going to be able to see that that's you. And if there's possibly more than one Ben Borman out there on LinkedIn, somebody might kind of go, oh, is that Ben? Isn't him? If it's you and it's your face and that face takes up about 60% of the frame, that's perfect. It's also great not to have anything in the background. It's tempting to kind of have that favorite picture from your holiday where you've kind of chopped your kids out and you can still see their arms, or, you know, you're with your friends somewhere. Plain background, nobody else in it. Bearing in mind that it's a professional workspace, really and truly, it should be a professional picture. So again, you know, not something that looks like it's been taken on holiday, plain background with quite sort of standard work dress. The resolution of your image is also quite key. It's nothing worse than seeing a blurry picture. And the last thing I'd sort of say on a picture really is smile, because it kind of makes you look more friendly and more approachable. You know, it's tempting to think, oh, it's a bit like a passport photo. It's not. It's, you know, it's you, and you're sort of trying to sell yourself and make connections. And, you know, I'm not sure anyone wants to make a connection with my passport photo. So that's the first thing.
So drop the sombreros from our profile pictures.
Yeah, no cocktails in hand.
We're in a lucky position, but actually, I would imagine most employers now at some point have some form of professional photographer come in and take a few snaps of the team.
Yeah.
We have done with our team in Cambridge a few years back. Dave, Shelley, I would imagine you've
had. Yeah, we have. Yeah. And that's brilliant. If someone's done that for you, use that picture, because it also kind of identifies you with that sort of organisation as well. You know, if you've all got that same kind of sort of background, well, plain background or, you know, whatever. So, yeah.
The other thing I noticed was it's quite easy to crop images now on a computer, isn't it? And I think on LinkedIn itself, it even gives you the option to kind of crop into a bit more of a zoomed in view of your face. I'm not sure many people would want to zoom in too close on my face, but I hope my profile picture is neat and people would recognize me from it. And I think that's the key thing, isn't it? You
want absolutely
to know that's Ben if they ever met you in the person. And let's hope we're getting closer to lots more face-to-face meetings with people.
Absolutely. And there's also, I mean, a lot of people miss this, but there's also space on LinkedIn to have a background photo, which many, many people don't do. Mine, my personal one, is a kind of almost word art of marketing terms. So I went down that route because it's sort of quite generic. But equally, I could have the FI logo as my background. I could have a lovely picture of Chelmsford or, you know, something similar. But probably wouldn't put, you know, my favourite beach on there, I don't think.
I've got one action shot of me teaching the value chain, Ben, as my background, which is quite a remarkable shot of me in action.
Wow. I can only imagine if it was a video and we got a montage of your screenshots of delivery, Dave. Amazing. Mm. Fantastic. So that's number one, and quite a thing to do, isn't it? To go and sort out your profile picture. What's the next thing we should be looking at?
Ben, there is a question that someone just asked about that, about the image, that just saying that does the using a frame, the looking for work frame, make you look desperate on your LinkedIn profile? What are your thoughts there?
I think it would worry me a bit. I suppose it depends how long that frame is going to be up on your profile. I personally don't think there's anything wrong for saying you're looking for work, but obviously circumstances dependent. If you're in a current role, probably not the greatest image to portray, that you're going to betray your current employer and go and promote yourself looking for work. But if you are genuinely out of work, I don't think it hurts to flag that. I would probably be a bit nervous of having that prominently on the front and center of my profile, though, Shelley.
I think there's a better place to put it, actually. And it was something that sort of coming on to almost sort of the next point. There is your profile, which has your headline, which is who you are. And, you know, quite often I put marketing manager. In fact, mine does say marketing manager from First Intuition East Anglia. But equally, I could put something different, like a passionate marketeer who is driven by the customer and brand experience, or something like that, because that sort of says what I do rather than my job title. And if I had that underneath it, there's a byline, and that byline you can then put seeking new opportunities or currently looking for new opportunities. And that's probably the place I'd put something about currently looking for a new job. So.
Cool.
From my perspective, Ben, I think that if I'm looking down at if I'm on my LinkedIn profile, and someone has got the looking for work frame around their photo, it would make me want to click on it. But the thing that would make me want to click on it is that they would have to be posting something that appears in my field that I think is valuable. So I'm not going to see it any other way. I'm only ever going to see it if they're putting something on the field. So if you're looking for a role and you're putting something on the feed that is that has value to me, then I'm almost certainly going to look and say, all right, you're looking for work. And you know, just look at your experience and think, is there a reason I want to have a conversation with you? And that might be I could see you kind of almost doing that strategically as well, is that if you know someone that is in the sphere that you want to move into, and you're connected to them on LinkedIn, you're looking for a role, is there a way that you can put a post together where you are you're putting their name in there or something like that? So you know, what you could do, and I don't know where you're based, but if you know which First Intuition Centre is close to you, and you know, I'm pretty sure if you said to me something like, you know, I've just attended the AIT revision session with Dave. Thanks, at David Malthouse. Okay, I'm definitely going to see that. It's going to be linked to me. I now know that you live close to me because you've linked to me, or I will know it through looking at you. I know that you've completed, say, you know, AIT level 2 and you're looking for a role. Now I'm thinking, well, actually, do I have a client that's looking for a level 4 role that's part qualified? So I don't see a problem with you using that thing there at all. But you've got to grab my attention through giving me some kind of value. And that doesn't mean just spamming me and saying, got any jobs? Because, you know, I get quite a lot of people that send me random messages all the time. But that would really make you pop in front of me. Now, it might be the case that you're nowhere close to anywhere in First Intuition and you're looking for a role in North Wales, and in which case it's got to be thinking a little bit more strategically, right, who do I want to get in front of and what can I use almost as a Trojan horse to get there? You know, is it the case that, you know, you are going to, you find a blog that someone's written that you think is really insightful and you share it? And he said, this blog's brilliant. Okay, it might have been the case that you listened to the podcast from last week and it really moved you. And you said, this is a really important podcast. Anyone that's struggling, I really urge you to listen to it. And it's going to get in front of people. So just putting the I'm looking for work frame, yeah, it's not going to do any good. Giving some kind of value and getting people to look at the person behind the post, that's what's going to get you a role.
Cool. Excellent. Shelley, what's your next tip if we are looking at people's LinkedIn profile?
So your profile, LinkedIn now has a really good sort of checker for you in that it will tell you how complete your profile is and how strong it is. So I think it says something, you're 40 times more likely to show up in search results with a complete profile. So you need to put things that you must put your industry and your location, your current job, at least two past positions, education, and then as many skills as you can think of that are relevant to you and things that you can substantiate, obviously your profile picture, and then just trying to make as many initial connections as possible. And I think in terms of doing that, people are quite nervous on LinkedIn about making connections because they sort of think, well, I don't really know that person. I know Dave from the podcast, but I don't really know him. Actually, I think people are more open to connections on LinkedIn than they are on any other social media platform. That's probably because I don't mind people seeing the things that I share on LinkedIn, but I'm not necessarily that keen to have people looking at, you know, pictures of my children on Facebook. So I think there's a lot more openness. So make as many sort of realistic connections as you can. And when you go out there and you are meeting people at conferences or online on virtual meetings, don't be afraid to connect with them. If they don't want to connect with you, they won't. But there's no kind of there's no shame in that on LinkedIn, I think.
Initially, there is a want to be as connected as possible. And I get that to build up a bit of a connection. I think I'm at the stage now where maybe I'm a bit more established. And so I am a bit more selective on my connections. And I don't just accept everybody that comes to me. I have a think, why are they connecting with me? Is there any value I could add to them? Is there any value they could add to me? Is there stuff that is going to be mutually beneficial? But I do appreciate in the early days, you just want to build a network as quickly as possible. And so I don't think there's anything wrong with those very quick connections.
Absolutely. But
try and connect with the people, as Shelley's talking about there, that you actually engage with. Don't be scared to ask people to connect. I know it's something, Dave, you have done really, really powerfully when you've spoken at events and you've spoken at various sessions. Cool. I'm just looking. We've got a few questions coming through in the chat box. I would certainly be saying you are students of a relevant body, and it's something I would encourage you then to engage with their own social media platform. Start engaging with the AAT on LinkedIn or ICAW or CIMA or ACCA. If you can share some of their posts, if you can comment on them, brilliant. But yeah, I would certainly be proud to use that. Using their logo, no, I don't think, Michelle, but if you can like their page, I think it comes up down below. I myself am ACCA qualified, and I think if you go and look at my profile, Ben Bullman, you'll see down on my profile the ACCA logo is there because it's something that I am affiliated with, so I've been able to kind of link with them through that. But I would say that would add a lot of value. You should be very proud of the professional qualification that you are studying with.
100%, Ben. I think absolutely. If you're studying towards any qualifications, you should definitely go up there. Don't wait until you're qualified to put it up there. It shows that you know you're ambitious. You've got, you know, things that you're trying to achieve. It really does mark you out above anyone that's not studying. So I'd definitely put it on there. Someone said that they'd left a company and been made redundant, and could they, if they put redundancy down as a reason for leaving the job, could previous employers see it as detrimental to them? I don't see a problem if it's factual. Do you, Ben?
No, I don't. I suppose you would have to be careful just to look at anything that you might have signed on leaving. If you signed any kind of confidentiality or non-disclosure agreement, you might be in breach of that. But aside from that, redundancy is a very justifiable way to demonstrate why a particular role ended. So if that's factually correct, I can't see a problem with it either, Dave. I would agree.
There is a note asking about what about Twitter? And for me, I always try and equate things to pre the internet. What was it pre the internet? And you know, for me, LinkedIn is the equivalent of an old fashioned Rolodex for me. It's a load of people that I know that I can get in contact with. I appreciate I used the word Rolodex there, and most of our listenership or viewership probably I'm now going to need to Google what one of those is. I see Twitter as being like the water cooler. It's where you go to discuss stuff that has just happened. So, you know, when I go onto Twitter, you know, it's generally because an amazing goal has just been scored and I want to see what's happened. Or it's the last 5 minutes of Line of Duty and I want to just check the rest of the world is as disappointed as I am. So it's they're the kind of moments that you kind of capture. It's a sense of communal experience and sharing. In terms of using it as a professional tool to network with, I find it a little bit more difficult. I use it all the time for information though. If I want to find news that's really current and up to date, I'll go to Twitter rather than BBC, because BBC is 15 minutes behind the pace. They've got to have a writer to write something, but Twitter reports things instantly. So that's where, that's where something's happened, I want to know what's going on in a football match, then Twitter's where I'll go, because it's always more up to date than anything else.
Great. Shelley, what's a next top tip for people if they are looking at their profile?
There's a section on your profile that is about you, and LinkedIn has changed this a number of times, but it's currently called About or About Me. That is almost like the personal statement on your CV. It's a chance to sort of showcase who you are, say what you're great at. It's a place to avoid sort of buzzwords like driven and hardworking, but I like doing words. I like active things like communicating, organizing. You know, you talk about your approach to things, the things that really kind of drive you. So rather than say I'm driven, tell us what drives you. So that it doesn't need to be more than a few lines, paragraph at most, but that's a really great thing to complete. And I think that's your chance to kind of not just sell yourself, but kind of make yourself understood by the people that you're connecting with. And on top of that, the other thing that you can do, this is all two tips in one really, is that you have a URL. When you join LinkedIn, you have a URL which they will automatically assign you a set of numbers. So when you're in your profile, mine is in the top right-hand corner of mine. It says edit your profile and URL. And that's where you can add your personal statement about me. But you can also customize your URL. So all you need to do is click on it. You take out the numbers they've assigned to you, and then you just put your name. So I think mine's www.linkedin.com/Shelley Tweed. And that comes up as me. Once you've done that, you can use that anywhere you like. You can use that on your CV. You can use it at the bottom of your email footer. And it's very much people know that it's you, and it's just instant access rather than a set of numbers. It looks more personal. So
that's a great tip to try and build your network with connections, people you connect with. It's another way that they can find you, putting it on your email footer, embedding it into any presentations that you do or slides so they can find you. Dare I say it, and I don't know, Dave, if you've had experience of this during pandemic Zoom meetings, but dropping it into the chat box. Have you had anyone that's dropped their profile into a chat box in a meeting that you've been in?
I have not seen that, but I have been in a kind of a large scale meeting with kind of about 10 people on it, and of which I know three of them. And I have kind of looked them up on LinkedIn and sent them requests either kind of during the meeting or after the meeting, just saying, you know, really good to, you know, engage with you in that forum. You know, I'd like to connect to you because, you know, I think we could help each other out, stuff like that. So yeah, it's something that I tend to do. I know that when we've been to, in the olden days, Ben, when we used to be able to go to conferences and stuff like that, it would be the case someone might give you their business card. First thing that I would do is look them up on LinkedIn and connect to them on LinkedIn, and then throw away the business card because I don't need it anymore. So it's it is something that I do try and do as much as possible, because it's just easier to have all your contacts in that one place.
I think that's an interesting point, Dave, as well, that actually if you're new to LinkedIn, you may not be aware, unlike Facebook and Instagram and some of the other channels, if you look someone up on LinkedIn, they will know. And that's fine if it's someone you've met and then you go on to connect with them. Just probably don't use it to look up exes, people that you've fallen out with, you know, that kind of thing, because they will know that you've been looking at them. So, it's just a different feature.
Yeah.
Got a question in the chat box, Shelley, about how often we maybe should be using it for sharing things to kind of get the right balance. I know.
Yeah.
I think you need a relatively regular presence so it doesn't look like you're kind of coming and going, and obviously keeping it up to date. Have you got any tips if people are nervous as to how they engage to start with? What sorts of things are an easy one to do to start?
Yeah. I mean, I would probably spend maybe sort of 10, 15 minutes most days having a sort of scan through LinkedIn. And I think it is easy to be nervous about liking and commenting on things. So the first thing to do really is, if you are feeling that sort of slight, just like things, just to begin with, just like things that maybe your company shared, your boss has shared, or people that you know fairly well have shared. The next step on from that is maybe to add a comment. And that comment might be something like, great article, thanks for sharing. Nothing inflammatory about that, nothing controversial. You've literally just thanked that person, but you're building your confidence while doing that. As you move on, that's when you can start to maybe post some slightly more kind of, you know, topical comments. So for example, you know, years ago, if I'd seen an article on, say, sustainability, I might have said, great article, thanks for sharing. But with my retail background now, I might say something like, really great article, but I do have to ask the question, are retailers really going far enough these days? What else could be done? And I'm slightly more challenging in that instance, but that's because I've got that little bit more confident now. One of the easiest things you can do is share your company's updates. You know you're not going to go too far wrong. You might put great opportunity at our company, or was really grateful to be involved in this exciting project, or really proud of the work we've done. There's nothing wrong with that. And I think you don't have to post every day. If you don't see anything you're not that fussed about, don't post, don't like things, but have a scan through, you know, 10, 15 minutes every day, and like, maybe share the odd thing, comment if you feel comfortable with it. That would be my advice, and build your confidence.
And Shelley, if your company doesn't have kind of regular, regular announcements on LinkedIn, then, you know, I'm going to give a shameless plug here. You could do worse than pick on some of the content that you guys at marketing are putting out at First Intuition. Yeah. and share and comment on those. You know, we're not going to come after anyone, you know, because we don't like the wording that they use. And I don't think any of our listeners, the kind of people that would, you know, deliberately write anything to sabotage anything that we're doing. So
absolutely. Yeah,
more than happy for people to do that. If anyone wanted just to, you know, to look me up, I really don't have a problem with that. I don't mind seeing that someone has looked at my profile. It happens all the time. I like it when people engage with things that I put up. I like it when people, you know, let me know what they think of the podcast, which is the last thing that I put up there, or what's happened with our revision sessions, which kind of brings me to Michael's question, which says, is it okay to look up a potential employer in LinkedIn? Probably late for me, but I like the idea about knowing about my interviewer. 100%, Michael. It will make me think more of a candidate if they've looked me up before the interview than they haven't. So if someone has done that and they're coming to the room and I know they've looked me up on LinkedIn, I'm already impressed. I already think that you actually want this job and you've done a little bit of research. Michael, you know as well, if you come for an interview for me, I'm going to be looking you up as well. You know, I'm going to be looking you up on LinkedIn if I'm interviewing you. I'm probably going to be looking at other social media platforms as well, because just to get an idea of the kind of person that you are. But it's definitely something that I would advise you to do if you possibly can. And I think that you're doing yourself a disservice if you don't. You know, that's as bad as not researching the company and looking at their website before an interview.
It's almost, if nothing else, you can establish some sort of common ground. If you notice that other person is, you know, into football and follows certain football teams, that's something you can talk about, you know, kind of on the way up from the lift or something. Oh, I noticed on your LinkedIn profile, you're a, I don't know, a West Ham fan, or, you know, whatever. It's just all anything that they're into, that they've done some charity work, that they do volunteering, something like that. It's just something to spark more of an informal conversation and get yourself across.
I agree. I've had so many conversations about sports on the back of a LinkedIn profile. And round here, it normally is West Ham or Spurs, isn't it?
You both talked about liking, commenting and sharing on your employer's posts. And I think that's a great way to engage. It kind of stays on brand, on message with your role and your employer. I would encourage you to have an open conversation with your employer. Talk to your boss, your line manager, and ask, what are we doing on social media? Is there anything I can be sharing within the team? Shelley, you and the guys in marketing are great at giving myself or Dave or Gareth a nod, saying, guys, we're going to be doing a post in a couple of days. Could you make sure you all get on your LinkedIn, your social media, and you start liking it, commenting and sharing? If you get a response back from your employer saying, we don't have a social media presence, well, actually, then ask them, do you think it's something we should have? I think most, if not every business these days needs some form of social media presence. And actually, you might be the catalyst to get that started for your employer, or at least engaging them with the thought and the conversation around, should we be putting more content out online? Dave, I know you love commenting on stuff that other people at FI post, and it really does add another depth to any of the blog articles that go up.
Yeah, I agree. And twofold. One, it just kind of validates that you're putting out the right kind of content, and to continue doing it, which I think is really important. If students value things that we do and we know about it, we'll do more of it. I kind of recognize the, as Shelley said, the kind of the apprehension that a lot of people have when they post things. Because, you know, some people, you know, don't, but there's a lot of people that are kind of really nervous about putting things down. And I was thinking that, you know, I want to support them. And you know, generally, most people I'm connected with are really decent people. So, you know, if they're not decent people, they soon become unconnected to me. So I'm a big fan of making those comments, giving that kind of feedback.
We had the comment about the time we should be spending. And I just quickly wanted to touch on some of the more downsides and the risks of that. Obviously, we can't be full-time on social media. We've got other elements in our job roles to be doing. And it does get very, very addictive. I mentioned my train ride post that I put up earlier this week. And once I realized people were looking at it, liking it, it does get very, very tempting to keep constantly checking, oh, who else has seen it? How many likes have I now got? And I think we just need to be mindful of that. One of the things I'm going to start trying to do, and my train journey this week reminded me of having half an hour on the train in the morning. That's an ideal time just to go on, see what's been posted overnight, maybe comment on a few things, share a few things, update something on your profile. And what I'm going to start trying to do is find maybe 15 minutes three times a week and say they are my LinkedIn minutes. And aside from that, I'm going to be off LinkedIn, but I'm going to check it at least three times a week. So if anyone sent me a message or wants to connect, I pick up on that. And I'm going to try and post or like or comment on something in those 15 minutes just to build up my presence. And I think that would be a nice balance.
I agree, Ben. LinkedIn is like every social media platform. They're designed to grab your attention, and we've all seen, you know, examples of people that are spending too much time on whatever social media platform it is. It's very, very easy to do the same. It's very, very easy to get sucked into the whole, let me, you know, how many likes have I got, or let me see if I've got any more comments. And I think being disciplined and treating it as a work task, or treating it as a self-development task, and saying, right, 15 minutes on a Monday, that's when I'm going to spend my time there. I'm not going to constantly check back all the time, and being very disciplined with it. You don't necessarily want it to be something that's, you know, I'd be looking at probably switching notifications off, because, you know, getting those little red circle with a one in it and then a two in it on the icon, you know, get rid of that. So you don't, you know, you don't have to, you're not triggered to look at it, because that's what that thing's designed for. Those push notifications are designed to get you to go back into their product so that their advertisers can sell at you. So don't let them do that. We did a podcast episode on this, didn't we, Ben, all about technology and data and these kind of things. You can control your usage. Don't let it control you. And I think, yeah, giving time, it's great. I mean, I know that the super LinkedIn users, I think, tend to do either two or three posts a day, where it's kind of one first thing in the morning, one around lunchtime, one in the afternoon, but that's the only time they go onto it. So although they're super LinkedIn users, they might only be engaging with it for 30 minutes a day, just in batches of 10 minutes at a time, but very, very disciplined and very regular, which is the key to it, is making sure we're doing it on a regular basis, but don't spend all day on it.
Great, great tip, guys. As always on the podcast, time is against us. We are now up to our time for this evening's episode. I'm going to say thank you to Shelley for joining us. I hope we will have you back, Shelley. And a big thank you for all you and the team do behind the back of the podcast for the promotion and all of the social media marketing behind it.
Thank you, Ben. I'm going to pop a link in the chat and we will add it to the podcast as well with the tips for LinkedIn that we've created so that everyone can see them, because there's an awful lot more to it. I'm just popping that in now. But thank you for having me on the podcast. I've really enjoyed coming back and speaking.
Thank you so much, Shelley. Can I just ask everyone that's still in the room before we go, and anyone that's listening, if you can go to whatever podcast platform you use, if you can, please leave comments there as well as leaving comments on LinkedIn, our profiles. That'd be absolutely amazing. Particularly if you enjoyed last week's, it'd be amazing to see a little bit more feedback of kind of like how you enjoyed it and things like that. So if you could do that, that'd be absolutely amazing. But other than that, it's been a pleasure having Michelle on the show today. It's been great to be back for the second week, Ben. I don't think I thanked you last week for keeping the ship sailing over my kind of absence for a few weeks. But it's lovely to be back. I will see everyone next week. I'll leave it to Ben just to say goodbye for everyone.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Shelley. Continue to share the podcast with your colleagues, with your friends. And we will be back for another episode of the First Intuition Podcast next week. Good evening, everybody.